This is the Galaxy Wars podcast with your host, The Grays. Greetings, welcome back to another episode of the Galaxy Wars podcast with your host Jim and Tom. And again, we're finally back after a week or so hiatus, but this time we're back with what we're good at. This is our bread and butter. We're good at talking Marvel. We're good at talking superheroes. Honestly, we're good at talking everything, but I wanted to be humble in the first 30 seconds of our show. But we're talking Loki today.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so from this moment out, 50 seconds into the podcast, spoiler alert, because we're going to spoil the hell out of the first three episodes of Loki, which in my mind are fantastic and takes me back to a little bit more of WandaVision as far as speculation and theories and
and
where my head is, but it's still Marvel at its best, and we're kind of ushering in the summer of Marvel. We have Loki right now. In 2 weeks, we have Black Widow. And in a couple months after that, we have Shang-Chi, which dropped another trailer that was amazing.
And with Abomination in it?
Yeah, like they've been keeping him on ice for 15 years.
Yeah, which didn't see that coming.
No, I don't think anybody did.
Yeah. I don't know how it works together. I mean, that's some... That's some Thunderbolt Ross stuff, so...
Yeah, and honestly, it looked like he was fighting Wong.
Yeah, yeah, definitely.
So who knows what happened with that?
I don't know if he was fighting Wong, but yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, he's fighting a sorcerer, and the only stubby, bald-headed sorcerers I know are Wong, so or Mordo. Sure. And I mean, honestly, if that's a big red herring at their... using a stunt double, and then it's, you know, it's Mordo fighting Abomination in Shang-Chi, I think that would be amazing. But let's just dive into Loki. This is a series that we've been waiting for since its announcement. We finally get it, albeit six episodes, which I honestly think this could go multiple seasons.
Well, we'll see how this all pans out and what happens in the end. I mean, so it basically turns this into a mid-season review. So let's, you know, instead of some random three episode, we're judging the first, you know, the mid-season. So let's make it that.
That might be the first time that we've ever had something sync up. We're usually like, this is the fourth episode of Sweet Tooth. Let's talk about it.
Yeah.
But yes, the mid-season review of Loki is the title of this episode. What do you think of where we're at right now as far as the series goes?
You know, you said it's kind of a callback to the to WandaVision, but it's not to me, except for the first, like, you know, when they're doing the callback to his life, you know, this is your life segment, literally. It's not nearly as serious, and it doesn't have the serious overtones. It's a little bit more whimsical, which is fun. But like WandaVision, this stirs up the fan theory engine. Like I start thinking, what does this all mean, and how does this all happen, and what does it mean? So that feels nice to get back to, even though we were wrong, you know, almost everything in WandaVision. And I think whatever we come up with for this will be wrong too, but I kind of like being in that space.
Yeah, I totally agree. When I thought about WandaVision, it was only because of that. Just because, like, when WandaVision came out, you know, we were on the theory train. It was deeply rooted in the seeds of Mephisto, at least for me, and then it went to Kang for you, and I, you know, I don't think it's going to flip-flop where you're going to be like Mephisto in this, but I'm 100% on the Kang train when it comes to theories.
Yeah, I'd like to spend a little bit of time at some point talking about what some of our theories are, but yeah, I think, I don't know if he's going to, I'm not going to bet all my money on Kang like I did last time, but I think him showing up is there's a bigger chance of him showing up in this than there was in the WandaVision.
Yeah, I absolutely agree. When we were talking theories in the first episode of Loki Lounge on Active Geek, I immediately said that the variant was Lady Loki, which I got right, at least in the, I guess, the look of the variant. I don't believe that it's 100% Lady Loki. I think I've talked about this before. I know I've talked about this before. I believe that she is Enchantress.
I just, not being 100% sure if Sylvie was real, I went and I looked up some stuff, and it turns out she was, like, an Enchantress, like, level sorceress, sort of, that Loki trained, though. Like, she was, from, like, Nebraska when they landed, when they landed Asgard. I think it was in Nebraska, right?
I mean, honestly, it would make sense, but how poetic would it be if it was Oklahoma, where we, you know, first kind of saw the shroud of that figure?
That might have been it. It's something like that. Wherever they landed Asgard, I can't remember off the top of my head. You know, when Asgard came back and they did, you know, Dark Avengers, and that's a huge, that's a big storyline to get into, but. When they got into that stuff, I think she was somebody that he picked out of the crowd and in his travels and said, I could train her to be as powerful as anybody else. And he did. But yeah. I don't know how that relates to what's going on now, because it seems like, well, she hasn't really given any story of who she is.
No, she's just agreed with everything that Loki said. Like, Lamentis 1, that episode, really just kind of threw me for a loop. And I know when I was talking with Chuck about it, he's like, you know, she's diving into her past, whereas I was like, no, I believe she's a snake oil salesman who's just under the guise of Lady Loki, because how many times can a character say, don't call me Loki?
And if she's familiar with him, if she was trained by him, she knows, first of all, she knows that they're probably different, and she knows that Loki's a snake in the grass too, and, you know, that's probably why she's positioning herself the way that she is.
Yeah.
You know, to protect herself.
And even if she wasn't trained by him, she's been through time. You know, she's traveling from time to time. She's obviously had to have come across a version of Loki, or even just like, one of my theories, and I know we will talk about theories in a bit, but one of my workshopping theories that really just came to me while Chuck was talking in one of our episodes was that, what if this all has to do with the blip, right? We talked about it, I think, many moons ago on our podcast, where we were saying, like, what if the X-Men or the Inhumans came back with the blip? Like, that's like Ned Leeds is turning into Hobgoblin, supposedly, and he gets those powers through the blip. What if she got blipped and came back with these powers and fully knows who Loki is? Because in 2012, this version of Loki was public enemy number one. You know, the first alien to crash into our, you know, our atmosphere and wreak havoc. And she probably knows all about it. It'd be awesome if she was a callback to one of the Avengers rescues.
Ooh, yeah.
And she just, like, she was that reporter that Cap saved in the, you know, in Madison Square Garden or, in, you know, Penn Station. And at the end of the day, she moved to Oklahoma, honed her powers, because now the TVA is, like, they're looking for this variant and looking for Nexus-level energy. That's the thing that kind of sticks out for me, because, like, we learned about the Nexus level last, or two shows ago with WandaVision. That was the first, you know, mention of the Nexus level magic, and in the comics we know that Man-Thing is a Nexus level type of energy. I never would have expected Loki to be Nexus level, so that also leads me to believe that this is not Loki.
Yeah, I don't know about that, but really I'm trying to think of the Nexus level Nexus people that we know of, and it's usually Man-Thing controls the portals, and or whatever, or has like some type of control over the portals, or he defends them. And then Scarlet Witch is a like the big Nexus energy. So, yeah, I don't know. I don't know how Loki... I mean, I guess if he forces himself to be in multiple timelines, then he potentially forces himself to become a Nexus being.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, they could be rewriting his whole kind of origin as far as, like, the level of his powers, which could also be why he explained the difference between, you know, duplication and, you know, projection.
Yeah.
Which was a very cool scene. But all in all, with the, you know, the first three episodes, like, I really enjoy what we're getting. I love that it's kind of a serious show, but then there's a buddy cop drama between, you know, or buddy cop comedy between Loki and Mobius, and then you have, you know, the what ifs with who is Ravonna Renslayer, what's mm-hmm. going on with Hunter B-15, you know, who are all these people, you know, what's going on with Miss Minutes, and where are the timekeepers, you know, why yeah. does that one timekeeper look like Jonathan Majors, you know, all these things are like popping through my head. So
yeah,
you know, the show's well done.
I feel, you know, like what I think Disney has now, for years now, has knows how ravenous the fans are. So I think they've absorbed that and said, look, to their stars, say whatever you want, but don't give anything away. You know what I mean? And you see, like, Tara Strong go out there and say, hey, yeah, I play a very important role. I don't know if that's true. I don't. It could be true, or it couldn't. Or Miss Minutes plays an important role. So I, you know, they've been doing that for years now. Where, you know, ever since I think they've fed Tom Holland false reports, you know, they've played into our, you know, insatiableness about needing more and more information, even though we don't want to be spoiled. So, I do like how they've done this, and it I like the fact that you know we are kind of in the in. We know a lot about comics, and we still don't know what's going on.
Yeah,
you know what I mean,
yeah, honestly, I've been wondering what's the deal with Miss Minutes, because how do we realize that? You know, at first you're kind of thinking like, oh, this is Clippy from Microsoft Word, and then at the end of the day, she's saying, well, actually, I'm alive somewhat somehow.
Yeah,
and she just, well, and she's the eyes and ears of the timekeepers, if there is a timekeeper. Yeah. Or can.
And once we find out that it's, well, for me, once I found out it was Tara Strong, I was like, she is a big name, a big voice to get for just a cameo. And not to say that I knew that, or I know what's going to happen with her, because I have no idea. But that's, you know, she's a, you could get a quirky female voice from anywhere to do a Clippy, you know, but to pull her in, which, you know, I don't know if she's done any voice work for Marvel.
I don't believe she has.
You know, I think that's a big deal. And people know who she is, and they recognize her voice, and they appreciate the work she does. So, you know.
Yeah, I don't.
At least I hope it goes that way. At least I hope she's a character and she means something.
See, I don't know if it will. I feel like
right. We
look at Karen in Spider-Man Homecoming, just the AI, and that's Jennifer Connelly.
Yeah.
You know, a well-known, recognized actor.
Oscar-winning actress.
More recognized than Tara Strong. And maybe that's just because her husband's in Marvel and she wanted to go do it. Or maybe she just wanted a bit role, and maybe this is just a kind of a checklist thing for Tara Strong. But it'd be nice that, like, you Miss Minutes, like, manifests into an actual character, and it's legitimately Tara Strong, because I think she's a great voice actress for sure, and I'd like to see what she has in live action. But I kind of think that she's the eyes and ears. Like, she's just like Big Brother listening in.
She's reporting straight back to the...
whoever.
To the timekeepers.
Yeah, because, like, they keep saying that there's timekeepers, and, you know, I think that's just to kind of lead you on a path. I really don't think that there are timekeepers, and if there is a timekeeper, I think it's Kang.
Yeah, that's what I was going to get into, is who are they, what are they, and, you know. But I, like I said, when we get into that kind of stuff, we can have conversation about it.
Let's get into it.
All right.
You know what this podcast is about. There's no plan. We're just going everywhere.
I do 100% think that Kang is going to show up and be a timekeeper.
I agree.
Of some sort. And now whether he started or he took over or he found the timekeepers once he was powerful enough to stand up to them, I don't know. But, you know, I think he is now a timekeeper. And I think he might be one, that one in the middle. It looks kind of like him.
Identical. Honestly, identical. Yeah. Like, the statue looks like him. The cartoon version looks like him. The mask on the wall.
Except for he's not purple. Yeah. You know, it's... Yeah.
And, like, not even just Kang. It looks like Jonathan Majors. Mm-hmm. Like, who is playing Kang. And we know...
Right.
We know that Kang's coming. This is kind of what I've been talking to people about. Like,
you
with Mephisto.
The timekeepers that are shown to us could be three representations of Kang.
Yeah.
It could be, what's his name? The Pharaoh. It could be, you know, Kang from the future, and it could be Iron Lad. It could be, you know.
Victor Timely.
There's a million Kangs, almost literally. And we could see three versions of them, and, you know.
Yeah. And, like, I've been telling people when I'm like, this is Kang. Like, I think it's going to be Kang. They're like, well, you were talking about Mephisto forever in WandaVision. I was like, honestly, they did a great job laying the breadcrumbs for Mephisto.
Yeah.
But we know that Kang is confirmed. We know that he's been casted, and we know that he's shooting a movie, and Ant-Man and Wasp, Quantumania. There's a theory on the internet that says that this whole TVA, the Bureau, everything is set in the quantum realm. And that's why...
In that city.
Yeah. And that's why Owen Wilson and everyone else believes that they are just placed in there and don't believe that they're variants.
Though we're starting to figure out that... Loki's starting to figure out that they're not all just born there or... created there. They came from elsewhere.
Yeah.
Or at least that's what Sylvia is telling him.
Yeah, and, you know, if you think about, like, the origins of Kang as far as, like, how he could pop up in the MCU, and more specifically how he could pop up in Ant-Man and the Wasp, that's where I think Victor Timely comes in, as just, like, this normal dude within that city that, like, Paul Rudd, let's say Scott and Hope go back into the quantum realm to, you know, rescue the people who were in the city or just try to figure it out a little more. Janet doesn't go in because obviously she's trauma. There's so much trauma from being in there forever. So they meet this guy and it's Jonathan Majors playing Victor Timely, who says, like, listen, you know, I have a family. Like, let me get out there. Like, I can help you with this. I'm a scientist. And they bring him out. And the moment that he comes out and Janet sees him, she knows that it's bad news, and he disappears and becomes Kang. Like, wouldn't that be, like, the greatest entry? Like, you can't introduce Immortus in this way. You can't introduce, like, a purple-faced alien right off the jump.
Right.
Like, I think he has to be kind of like a snake in the grass. He has to be a persona who evolves into Kang. And I think that this could be the, you know, the breadwork of showing that there is a character named Kang, and we meet Victor Timely later in life.
Yeah, we see versions of Kang come out, and maybe as, you know, we get other movies and other shows, we see, you know, maybe in the multiverse of madness, we see a version of Kang. Maybe in Loki we see a version of Kang. Maybe in the future when we get Fantastic Four, we'll get a version of Kang, or, you know, closer to the real version of, you know, Nathaniel Richards. I think that's how it might go. And about the city, I saw that. The only thing I'm kind of confused on is how do they depower everything?
Yeah.
You know, how is there no magic? How do they depower? is that just future 5,000 year, you know, what is it, the 40th, whatever, 41st century or something they call it, is when Kang comes, or the technology comes from. So I don't know.
Yeah, given to them from the world traveler, the time traveler, Kang the Conqueror. Like, he could have just an arsenal of weapons that he's using at his disposal, and he just says, hey, use these to wipe out what we're doing.
Do we get a TVA crossover with She-Hulk?
Maybe. I mean, that would be really cool. You know, they're spacing characters throughout the universe now. Like, we see Abomination in Shang-Chi. So, like, could there be... Is that the origins of She-Hulk? You know, there's a bunch of stuff that, like, we could do the what-if stuff. But, like, I think this is kind of like the trilogy for Kang, though. Like, think about it. Like, Thanos popped up in Avengers, then went to Guardians, and then had his whole hurrah. What if this is where Kang pops up, then makes his, like, grand statement in Ant-Man and Wasp, and then goes on to, you know, finish his time in the MCU in Fantastic Four as the main villain?
Yeah.
You know, there's possibilities.
I think we're at a point post Thanos where we need to start seeing the villain or learning who it is. I mean, we understand that this multiverse thing is kind of going to be the direction that it's headed in, and I would like to see, you know, some villain coalesce and, you know, our aha moment like we did have with Thanos when he popped up, you know, when Loki spoke to Thanos.
Yeah.
Or you know, and we see some more. But I, you know, who knows what's going to happen.
So let's talk about another theory when they're at Lamentus, right? This big world that we spent the last 34 minutes on. That has a bunch of ties to the Kree world, which we know Krees are completely overrun in the MCU. We know all about the Kree. We know that the Skrulls are involved and they have a war. The next theory that I kind of talked about on Loki Lounge, and I was wondering to kind of hear your thoughts on this, is the setup of the Avengers 5 villain, which could be a Nihilus.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think about that?
That's big.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a thing. Is a Nihilus? I mean, are we gonna? Is a Nihilus wave gonna be the
like the prelude into it?
Yeah, or you know, not just the prelude, but is that gonna be the box that we try to fit everything into? You know, and does everybody fit in? Yeah, I mean, kind of everybody fits into a Nihilus wave. It's. It brings everybody into the, you know, 10 years down the road, we do get kind of a Nihilus wave would be something that would happen 10 years down the road. And it would be epic and it would be huge. And you need Fantastic Four, you need the Avengers, you need X-Men, you need. So that would make a lot of sense, and it would make sense for it to happen down the road a piece.
Yeah, I think that. You know, it was the Annihilus and it was the Phalanx, which were the two that were kind of linked to Terminus. Or not Terminus, that's The Walking Dead. Lamentus, where, like, I kind of went on this rant where I thought, like, the purple missiles hitting Lamentus could be from the Skrulls. And this could be set in the future of another Kree-Skrull war, which could kind of lead to the Secret Invasion, which we know is showing up in a few years on Disney Plus. So I think Loki, you know, as much as we thought WandaVision was the most important setup to Phase 5, I honestly think it's Loki. At this point in time, I think that this is the show that sets up, you know, the big bads in the future. And it would be kind of poetic if it were Loki, because he was the one who set up the big bad in the future with Thanos. So I think Tom Hiddleston's show is a good point to kind of launch off with, because a lot of people love Loki to the point that he got his own show. Who would have thought when this scrawny Englishman appeared in Thor the first one and went on all the way until Infinity War would get a show. Like, Loki's not that, right. He's not that fan favorite, you know what I mean? But they've
comic books.
Yeah, yeah, we've turned him into a fan favorite to the point that this is probably going to get more eyes than WandaVision, probably more eyes than Falcon and Winter Soldier. So, what better moment to kind of launch it in? It's kind of
weird too. You're right, but comic book wise, Loki is evergreen and he changes. Like, there's so many variations, and just like the movies, he's always kind of floating in between in a zone of like anti-hero, anti-hero to villain, you know. Yeah. Like, yeah, he's classified as a villain, but I mean, there are times where he's redeemable, and I think Tom Hiddleston's so charismatic and he's charming that it was just hard not for him to kind of lean more anti-hero slash hero at some points. But I think there's possibilities. You know, if he gets his way, he turns full villain. And this is the villain Loki.
Yeah.
This isn't the Loki that died on his ship. This is the Loki that was, you know, still kind of, actually right after the fight. So he was still a Thanos lackey, and sure, he saw the pictures, but it didn't actually happen to him. So this Loki is still a villain, and he could still do villain things.
Yeah.
So who knows?
And like, it kind of brings me to what I think about Sylvie is that she's not a villain. I think that she's an anti-hero, if not hero, at this point, where her quest, you know, this whole voyage that she's going on is not just to kill the Time Lords or timekeepers, but to stop apocalypses from happening, even though she knows that they can't be stopped.
Right.
But that also brings me back to, what if she was part of the blip? And when she came back 5 years from now, 5 years from it, you know, everybody that she loved didn't come back. Like, her mother died, she lost her children or something, like, that could turn somebody crazy. And I think that could be, you know, again, this is just an ongoing evolution that I'm probably like wasting my time with, but I honestly think that would be a great way to tie in the blip.
And the thing is with the blip is, it is vague enough in the TV or in the movies in the MCU. Now in the comics, it's not, it was everybody went away, everybody came back, or, you know, whatever. In the TV show, the physical effects of the blip are kind of unknown.
Yeah.
And we know that the action of doing that thing created, and then the action of destroying the stones, like, unleashed this huge amount of radiation into the system and into the, you know. So that's a thing that could... And that's how they track, you know, Thanos. So the blip, again, bringing everybody back, we would have to think would create some kind of radiation or energy. So that kind of thing could mutate. It could physically alter people in that moment. So, you know, it's vague enough where everything you're saying is a possibility. And the blip can cause, you know, that could cause mutations, and it could cause... You know, when going forward of this story, it'd be, you know, that's how we might get the X-Men.
Yeah.
Is that's where the mutations happen. Instead of the Terrigen Mist, which I hate, I know it's kind of true, but I do hate that story.
Yeah.
It's my least favorite, like, actual story is the Terrigen Mist garbage. So I don't know. This is, who knows? And I like that this, that, I think you're right. You know, 15 years ago at this point, who knows how long, 12, 13 years ago, when we were discussing, you know, we know Iron Man and Avengers and all this other stuff's coming out, nobody had Loki on their list of potentially, you know, the most important characters in the MCU. You know, before the MCU was a real thing.
Yep.
But he kind of is. He could be, you know. He's kind of like, he could be the, you know, the testing ground for a lot of these characters and you know, to show what's capable and what other people are capable of. So
yeah, I mean, there's really only three actors that are left from the beginning, phase one. It's him, mm-hmm. Chris Hemsworth, and Sebastian Stan.
Yeah. You know,
Paul Bettany's dead. Like, his character, not Paul Bettany, but the Vision is dead. His character is gone. So at least now he's gone, but he's kind of in that gray area because there's White Vision. We don't know what's going on with that character. But you're absolutely right. When you look at the stages of the MCU, like Loki, in my mind, if I had Loki in a survivor pool, like, I didn't think he would outlive Captain America. He would outlive Iron Man, Hulk. Like, I didn't think he would outlive these people. And he has, which is a testament to, I guess, Tom Hiddleston, because I can't believe he auditioned for Thor. First of all, like, I'm so glad he didn't get Thor. I'm so glad that he got Loki, because I think he honestly is more popular than Thor.
Yeah, I mean, Thor is your, Chris Hemsworth / Thor is kind of your, you know, and this is no shade thrown against them, you know, he is in amazing shape, but he's kind of a traditional action star.
Yeah.
You know, he is what you expect somebody to be. And when, you know, for Thor, you do need a Chris Hemsworth body type or eventual body type, and not to say that he is, but Tom Hiddleston is more, and he plays it a little more androgynous and a little more
gender fluid.
Yeah, even though when the time calls, he's masculine, but we don't see him like fall in love with a woman or whatever. It's not like, that's not his story. And they do kind of get into that with, you know, a nod to his comic book bisexuality and stuff like that, which is real. I mean, and, it's one of those, underground perfect castings.
Yeah.
You know, when we talk about, Tony Stark and Robert Downey Jr. being the same person. This is actually kind of the same for, he's not a giant. He's not like, you know, Loki proportions in comic books, but the character and you know, the Weasley-ness or the Weaselness, he plays it perfectly. You know, the mischievousness of the character, he plays perfectly. So
yeah, and I love that Mobius called him the Ice Front to kind of touch on, like, you're not the giant of Jotunheim as you claim you are, which was, I thought that was a fun little nod. Do you have any other theories about what you think's going to happen in the series?
I think there's potential. Like I said, the way this is right now, and I, you know, sometimes I do get kind of confused about, you know, which Loki we're watching.
Yeah.
And sometimes it's like, oh, we're watching the Loki, but we're not watching the same Loki that we saw in, you know,
Ragnarok,
which was funny, and you know, we're watching what is technically when Loki was a real bastard, you know, when he was helping Thanos and he didn't real. I mean, it didn't seem like he cared what was happening. So I think this Loki. Because that Loki that we saw before always seemed to be one step ahead and not really care about consequences. And didn't care about what, you know, he would play everybody. He played his parents. He played Thor. He played everybody. The only one he never really, you know, fooled was Thanos.
Yep.
In the end. But this Loki that we're watching right now has the potential to M. Night Shyamalan all of us, and I think there's a potential to be a big twist.
Yeah.
And the twist is that he was just being nice the whole time to eventually figure out, you know, how to get more power and how to create stones or take the stones or take the Tesseract or steal Sylvie's powers somehow or any of the things. And, you know, I'd have to go, you know, episode by episode, and maybe we will at the end and try to pick out the things that he says to see which way he's going. But I think there's potential where Loki comes out of this the big bad, and Loki comes out of this kind of, you know, maybe the maybe they were trying to stop him the whole time. And what Mobius actually said is, oh, it's you. Like, you have to stop yourself. We're a variant of yourself. But maybe it's like that was, you know, foreshadowing that he really is trying to, like, he's becoming more powerful, and they were really trying to stop him the whole time. But, you know, I don't know. But I think there's potential for him to become the big bad of this show, okay, at least.
I would like to see kind of like next episode or the second to last episode, because again, this is 6 episodes, a very short run. And I thought we were going to get, you know, 53 minutes each episode. And then when this last Lamentous episode popped up and it was like 35 minutes, I was like, no. But
in like 10 minutes of credits.
Yeah. With no secret scenes, which.
Yeah.
Come on, Marvel, do better. But I'd like to see Loki transform into Ravonna Renslayer. Oh, yeah. Because we know, you know, she's a big character in the comics tied to Kang the Conqueror, you know,
right.
Love interests, allies, like, yeah. they're together. And I would like for him to kind of, or even like, it would be cool if he turned into Miss Minutes and like, followed Ravonna around and then got to know her day to day. And then turned into Renslayer and then went to the Timekeepers to kind of get the inside mm-hmm. track. And then that's where, you know, you have that standoff between what I'm hoping to be Kang versus Loki. But that is only just a, you know, a setup to mm-hmm. Kang versus Sylvie, who reveals herself as the Enchantress.
Yeah, I that's a potential that's there. And I think that's I think with Sylvie, all we're seeing is, you know, they give us her name, which was a name from the comic books, and they give us kind of her sort of kind of same backstory from the comic books. But I think potentially it's not the same. It just nods. You know what I mean? Like, to throw us off and say, okay, well, if it's her story from the comic books, it's this, or other thing.
Yeah.
But I think it's like, it's gentle nods and nudges towards that direction. But I do think she's eventually going to say, hey, look, you know, to be Enchantress, I was, I don't know if Enchantress has all the same powers, but they're pretty close.
Yeah. I mean, how many times can they say that you're enchanting people?
Right.
You know, are we just getting Ralph Bonard?
I think so. Ugh. Well, I don't know. I think there's potential there. I think that's a thing that might be happening.
Well, I hope it's not Ralph Bonard. Because that didn't feel right. I didn't like that at all. But I'm, you know, this is obviously a 5 out of 5, this whole series for me.
Yeah.
I love that it comes on Wednesday.
Yep.
Because I have so many days to kind of just sit with it and stew with it and record on it in one show and then talk about it with you. But I also hate that it's only 3 more episodes left.
Yeah, I think that's a timing thing. I don't think they wanted to interfere with any of their other runs, maybe.
Might just show how important this show is.
Yeah.
But if you don't have any more theories, we can get out of here because...
I think that's it. My big one was, I think the city... I'm trying to think of this. I think the city's going to turn out to be the TVA. I think it could be. But I always go... and like I'm just trying to figure out how they make everybody lose their powers there.
Yeah. Maybe there's just like a disruptor.
Yeah.
Like when you walk in, it just disrupts everything, like the Wi-Fi.
Right. And they do kind of have like this They have power, but it's like this ambiguous. In the comic books, they are a powerful organization, but they are not as powerful as they say they are. I don't know if that's the truth here too, or whatever, but we'll see.
Well, I mean, in every episode, they always seem to start it off with Loki saying, "Is this the most powerful? Is this the almighty power in the entire universe?" So maybe that's a lead in to like these guys are just like they're con artists, they're telemarketers, and they don't realize it. But just...
Well, that's kind of my theory with Loki is they are kind of con artists, and they're kind of con artists with power in the comic books. But I think Loki's a bigger con artist, and I think it's one con artist versus another, and I think Loki's going to come out the winner.
Yeah, because he's fully aware of that he's a con artist. I don't think Owen Wilson's Mobius is aware of anything other than, you know, there's life, there's death, and there's the TVA.
Yeah.
So we'll have to see. That was a huge reveal in Lamentus, and, you know, we're stuck on there for maybe half an episode in episode 4, and then we kind of get back to it. But this is a great show, man. I'm thinking, you know, I've always said that Throg is going to show up in here. And at one point, I think I said Squadron Supreme. And I don't believe Squadron Supreme is going to show up. Not at this point in the show, because there's only 3 episodes left. Quasar could possibly pop in. They've alluded to Quasar as far as Lamentus and Oshkosh. So maybe that's who Renslayer calls in to help hunt Loki. But we'll have to see with that. What I will also say is, if you're a comic book geek like us, you need to watch this show at least 2 times. you have to watch it with your fan eyes first, and then you have to watch it with your geek eyes second, because there's so many hidden gems and Easter eggs in there. Just, you know, the colors of certain things, the pencils and pens and the markers on the back of the walls labeling the layers, like, or the floors. That's all something that could play a big...
And, you know, the thing with the TVA is it's not the Avengers.
No.
And the Avengers can be slightly modified to a certain point. But in the end, it's got to look like the Avengers or we're out.
Yep.
The TVA is not as big as the Avengers in the comic books. It's a thing. And it's, it's street level. It's a fun way for them to literally retcon stories, and they have the retcanon and stuff like that, or the retcan. So, but it's not known well enough that they can't veer far away from the main idea of it, and people will get upset. Like, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah, there's no I'm justice not get for Mobius.
Podcast yeah. I'm going not going to get so upset. If they, you know, if it's a total 180 and it's nothing like the comic book, because it's not that important to the Marvel universe. But it is a malleable thing, and it is a fun way to mess with time, or in their case, control time. And I think it's a smart way to do things. And whenever we talk about time things, and you know how they're going to manage it, I think this is a good way. And they kind of, you know, when we saw how does Cap go back in the past and it not, you know,
be effective,
not ruin the timeline. Well, this kind of like tells you some things are acceptable as long as it doesn't change too much or there's not a lot of ripples. And these people are the people that control it. So I think this cleans a lot of things up plot wise. And it also is a fun way to mess with time and to introduce characters and ideas. So
yeah, this would be a very fun show where at the end, when the, you know, the Precious all being timeline, the, you know, the real timeline,
yeah,
like the battle between the Timekeepers and Loki and, you know, the Minutemen and all that turns into like multiple variants getting released into the timeline that we don't see until like further down the line. And maybe one of those variants is a man named Logan who was experimented on and was given adamantium. And that's the origin of the X-Men and the origin of Wolverine. It would be cool if, you know, all hell breaks loose in time and, you know, we get the origin of characters we've been waiting for, but we'll have to see. We'll just have to see. We have 3 episodes left, so in 3 weeks, we're going to do Loki Part 2, because we're going to break down the full season. But next week, we'll be back with a mystery episode, as we have yet to decide what we were going to talk about. So be warned, it could be Mandy.
It could be Fast 9.
It could be Fast 9. Oh, my God. Cars in space. It could be. So follow us on social media, the Galaxy Wars podcast. Listen to Active Geek every Wednesday and weekend. Cage My IQ on YouTube every single day for your MMA needs. I won't be on Cage My IQ this week because there's no fight, no UFC fight. So if you only want to watch for me every Thursday. But if not, listen to us wherever you can. And here's $20. Buy yourself something nice.